Hello and welcome to your GCSE Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we are diving into one of the most powerful and politically charged poems in the entire AQA Power and Conflict anthology. We're talking about London by William Blake, written in 1794 and published in his collection Songs of Experience. Now I want you to really engage with this poem because it is absolutely packed with meaning. And examiners absolutely love it when students go beyond the surface and explore the deeper layers. So whether you're revising for your first attempt or pushing for that grade 8 or 9, this episode is going to give you everything you need. We'll cover the core concepts and themes, Blake's brilliant use of language and structure, the historical context you need to weave into your essays, common mistakes that cost students marks, and a quick-fire quiz at the end to test your recall. Let's get started. So let's start with the basics. London is a 16-line poem divided into 4 quatrains. That means 4 stanzas of 4 lines each. Blake uses an ABAB rhyme scheme throughout, which gives the poem a relentless, almost march-like quality. Think of it as the speaker walking through the streets of London, step by step, unable to escape the suffering he witnesses. That walking rhythm is deliberate. It's called iambic tetrameter, 4 stressed beats per line, and it mirrors the trudging, oppressive pace of life in the city. Now, who is the speaker? This is really important, and it's a common mistake to confuse the speaker with Blake himself. The speaker is a constructed poetic persona, a wandering observer who moves through London's streets and records what he sees and hears. Blake uses this narrator to give the poem an eyewitness quality, making the suffering feel immediate and undeniable. Let's look at the first stanza. The speaker says, "I wander through each chartered street, near where the chartered Thames does flow." That word chartered is doing enormous work here. On one level, it means mapped or documented. The streets have been officially designated, but Blake is using it with bitter irony. To charter something is to grant it rights. But here the word suggests that everything, even the river, even the air, has been bought, sold, and controlled by those in power. The Thames, which should flow freely, is itself chartered, owned by commerce and the ruling class. This sets up the poem's central argument. London is a city where freedom has been strangled by institutional power. Moving into the second stanza, Blake writes, "In every cry of every man, in every infant's cry of fear, in every voice, in every ban, the mind-forged manacles I hear." This is one of the most famous phrases in all of English poetry, and for good reason. Mind-forged manacles. Manacles are chains or shackles, suggest that the people of London are imprisoned not just by physical poverty, but by their own mental acceptance of oppression. The chains are forged in the mind. Blake is making a radical psychological argument that the ruling class has conditioned ordinary people to accept their own suffering. Notice also the anaphora, the repetition of "in every," which creates a relentless, suffocating rhythm, as if there is no escape, no exception. Every single person is affected. The third stanza introduces specific victims of institutional failure. Blake writes, "How the chimney sweeper's cry every blackening church appalls, and the hapless soldier's sigh runs in blood down palace walls." The chimney sweep was one of the most exploited figures in Georgian London. Young children, sometimes as young as 4, forced to climb inside chimneys, suffering burns, lung disease, and early death. The church, which should protect the vulnerable, is described as blackening, both literally blackened by soot and morally blackened by its failure to act. The word appalls is brilliantly ambiguous. It means to horrify, but it also contains the word pall, a cloth draped over a coffin. The church is implicated in the death of these children. Then we have the soldier, whose sigh runs in blood down palace walls. This is a powerful visual image. The soldier's suffering literally stains the seat of royal power. Blake is making a direct accusation. The monarchy sends soldiers to die in its wars, and their blood is on the palace walls. The word hapless, meaning unfortunate without luck, strips the soldier of any heroism and presents him simply as a victim of power. The final stanza is perhaps the most disturbing. Blake writes, "But most through midnight streets I hear how the youthful harlot's curse blasts the newborn infant's tear and blights with plagues the marriage hearse." The harlot, a sex worker, is described as youthful, emphasizing her exploitation and the destruction of innocence. Her curse operates on multiple levels. It is a literal curse of anger and despair, but also a curse in the sense of disease. Syphilis, which was rampant in Georgian London and could be passed to newborn infants. Blake uses the shocking oxymoron marriage hearse to end the poem. A hearse is a vehicle for the dead. Marriage is supposed to celebrate life and love. By combining these two words, Blake suggests that marriage itself, one of society's most sacred institutions, has been corrupted and killed by the hypocrisy of a society that exploits women while pretending to uphold moral values. Right, let's talk exam technique, because this is where marks are won and lost. First, the most important thing, do not just spot techniques. I cannot stress this enough. Examiners call it feature spotting, where a student writes something like, Blake uses a metaphor here, that earns you almost nothing. What you need to do is analyze the effect. Ask yourself, why does Blake use this technique at this moment? What does it make the reader feel? How does it contribute to the poem's argument? That analysis is what gets you into level 4. Second, context must be integrated, not bolted on. A very common mistake is to write a paragraph of analysis, then add a sentence at the end saying, "This reflects the Industrial Revolution." That is bolting on context. Instead, weave it in. Blake's use of chartered reflects the commercialization of Georgian London, where corporations had effectively purchased the rights to the city's spaces, reducing its citizens to commodities. Third, do not confuse the speaker with Blake. The speaker is a constructed narrator. You can say, Blake presents a speaker who, or the poetic persona, to show you understand the distinction. Fourth, for poetry comparison questions, which are worth 30 marks, you need to compare throughout your essay, not write about one poem than the other. Use comparative connectives. Similarly, in Ozymandias, or in contrast to Blake's focus on psychological oppression, Shelley presents. Fifth, remember AO4, that's 4 marks for spelling, punctuation, and grammar. Use a range of sentence structures, spell literary terms correctly, iambic tetrameter, anaphora, oxymoron, and write in formal academic prose. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask a question, pause for a few seconds, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the rhyme scheme of London? The answer is AB, alternating rhyme in each quatrain. Question 2. What does Chartered suggest about London's streets and river? That they are owned and controlled by commerce and the ruling class. Freedom has been bought and sold. Question 3. What are mind-forged manacles? Psychological chains. The idea that oppression is internalized, that people have been conditioned to accept their own suffering. Question 4. Which 3 institutions does Blake criticize in the poem? The church, the monarchy, and marriage, all presented as failing or corrupting the people they should protect. Question 5. What is the effect of the oxymoron marriage hearse? It suggests that marriage and society itself has been corrupted and killed by hypocrisy and exploitation. Brilliant work getting through all of that. Let's do a quick summary of the key points to take away. London is a poem of radical political protest. Blake uses a wandering speaker to expose the systematic suffering of ordinary Londoners, the chimney sweep, the soldier, the harlot, and to indict the institutions responsible, the church, the crown, and marriage. The key techniques to discuss are iambic tetrameter for the relentless oppressive rhythm, anaphora within every for the universality of suffering, the oxymoron marriage hearse for the corruption of society, and the central metaphor of mind-forged manacles for psychological oppression. Context to integrate: the Industrial Revolution, child labor, Blake's radical dissenting politics, and the publication in Songs of Experience in 1794. For comparison, think about Ozymandias. Both poems critique the abuse of power, or exposure, which also presents institutional indifference to human suffering. Remember, analyze effects, integrate context, compare throughout, and write with precision and confidence. You've got this. Thanks for listening, and good luck in your exams. See you next time.